Are there any questions? Does anyone have any questions right now that you'd like to ask Dr. Bill? All right, there is a request right now to hear the rest of the story. Do you have any other?
Oh, the rest, I kind of wove it in. I was actually, I waited for two or three months. My future wife, of course, then didn't know. We were active in activity like Advent Hope, except at that time it was the Campus Hill Sabbath School class. And we had about 200 coming. And so we had various activities. I actually met her at prayer meeting there at Campus Hill. I waited till around March. After December, my dad had come in, and we'd actually gone out to their home. My dad gave a special seminar for where her parents worked, and she didn't understand why we were so willing to go out. We stayed with the family, so we were able to take a good look at the family, saw it was a good match. And that's after meeting the family. My dad says, you know, that this is a good girl. So several months went by, and I was actually at a seminar, a weekend seminar away from here, that I called her parents to get their permission to date her with the possibility that sometime it might lead to marriage. But I already knew her quite well, so this was a serious request with a serious intent to see if this was somebody that God was bringing together with our lives together, our families. She went then to Boston for a year. And I felt that she was going to enjoy and wanted a career, and she should have the opportunity to find out if that's really what she wanted, because I didn't picture in our relationship that the wife that was called to work with me would be in a career position. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that wasn't what I felt God wanted for me. So it was a good year. We had an opportunity to develop a part, and I got well acquainted with the postman, and I learned how much telephone bills can be. It's interesting. I learned something about how God communicates with us. I didn't really care so much about the personality of the postman. I had only one question. Does he have a letter from Sherry? And I'd study those letters to see what her character was like. It says, study the character of the one that you want to link up their life's destiny. So I study what is character and how can you study it. And it was a very important study for me in learning about my own character. And ultimately, it was sort of with reluctance, I have to say, her not from my part, but from her parents' part, to give permission for marriage. They wanted to be thoroughly satisfied that this young stripling was good enough to be married to their daughter. You know, she was a valuable person. They were so right on that. And in fact, in retrospect, if I were the parents, I probably wouldn't have given them permission to marry somebody like me. But they did. And I remember that she came back the last month before we were to be married. She came back, and we got engaged over the phone. It's quite romantic. And I was on the pediatrics rotation, and I would tell them every day, it's so many days before Sherry will be coming. And they didn't ask me, well, you told us that yesterday. Why are you telling us that today? You know what they said? He's in love. You know, Today I talk about Jesus is coming soon. They don't say, oh, he's a fanatic, I hope. I hope they say, oh, he's in love. Wants to see Jesus come. But Sherry came and we were married in the Hill Church and lived happily ever after. Well, that's the story. I am thankful for how God guides us from prayer meeting to marriage. I think that prayer meeting is a good place to meet a prospective life's partner. I think Advent Hope is a good place to meet a prospective life's partner.
Are there any questions? Anything from the presentations the last couple, I guess yesterday and today, that you'd like to ask? Right, while you're thinking,
some of them might like to ask some questions, but they're afraid that it'll give them themselves away. I know how that is.
I have a friend that wanted to know. That's fine. Jason? or you can feed them to Jason. Jason will ask them.
When you're thinking about who you're going to end up with, you mentioned that a doctor should look for somebody that's in a healthcare profession as well.
But typically, I mean, these are just rules of thumb. Generally, they shouldn't be great disparity of ages. There are exceptions. The one who wrote that was Ellen White, and yet her son, at age 40, married somebody that was 19 or 20 years younger than he was. So there are exceptions. This was the second time around. His first wife had died, and wife was actually just over 18. So what I'm giving you are rules of thumb. I don't want you to think that these are absolute fixed certain things, but this was a range she had lived with Ellen White. Ellen White thought this would be an ideal person to take care of the children.
And to further that is just should be when you're trying to develop a Christian family or a strong Christian family, the roles of both. We live in a society where both people are going into the occupational field. Both are trying to be professionals. Is there prophecy quotes or suggestions of maybe one forsaking for the sake of the family, or is it okay for both to pursue careers when it comes to, I guess, your jobs?
There's not a single answer for that. But the question is, let me just repeat the question. The question is, what about both parents working? You have to work those things out in the details. Part of it depends whether there are children. In the case of if one is in medical school and the other isn't, obviously, if it's the wife that's in school, husband's going to have to work to pay bills. If it's the husband that's in school, the wife is going to have to work. You work those details out. Ideally, when children are born, the most important babysitter for those children is the mother. And God has designed the mother with various things in mind. For 9 months, they're with the mother. After they're born, they're dependent on the mother. She's fixing food. It tells us that the woman has particular gifts for fixing food. No. But as they get older, particularly as they get toward their teenage years, in my view, just as the mother had to sacrifice for the children, the father needs to sacrifice time for the children as they get older. It's crucial. I do not know how you can raise children without an extended family. In our particular case, we're grateful. Both of our parents are very godly Christians. And so it was influences of our grandparents, our parents, that actually were probably more effective on our children than our own foolish attempts at trying to raise children. Everything you just have to work out within the details. I don't think there is a right or wrong on that. In my own case, in my own situation, I believe strongly that I wanted my wife, if possible, if the Lord provided it, you know, I could get sick or die, or there's just various things, if possible, that she would be able to be a mother for the children. And she also felt very strongly about that because her own mother had been so busy in the Lord's work that Grandma had raised her, done a wonderful job at it because that's how the Lord had provided for them. But it left her with a very intense drive. She was going to be the mother for her children. So for us, that was the perfect combination. Other combinations will work out. That's why culture and backgrounds, you have to understand people's ideas. I saw a cartoon where it showed two people at the marriage altar. And in the marriage altar, it showed this fellow, and he was thinking, he was laying in bed, and his wife was bringing him breakfast. And you know what was in her mind? She was there, and she saw her husband bringing her breakfast in bed while she was lying there. So you don't want those kinds of surprises. I don't know if that answered your question. There's a question back there.
According to the Bible, there is no, shall I say, recommendation, at least for a time, of the duration of courtship or an engagement promptly. According to, I guess, your research and you've studied the script process in the Bible, have you seen, I guess, an ideal of a courtship process or engagement process before?
Some suggest around 2 years. Some suggest around 2 years.
Friendship, or is that just courtship?
The studies actually aren't very good. They are retrospective. They're not prospective and careful. But experience would suggest that you need to be well enough acquainted with the person to ask and answer various questions. You want to know about their history. You want to know... you want to be able to get references. People are more careful in business partnerships than they are in marriage partners. Get references. It was interesting. Both, you don't have to let them know. Both of us went to the same person for counsel about, because we knew this particular professor was a godly person, and so we went to talk to, and knew both of us, had been teachers for both of us. And so I went to talk to this gentleman, and he had the highest recommendation for Sherry. And she didn't know that I had gone to talk to him. I didn't know that she had gone to talk to him. And he gave her, I don't know, at least some recommendation. And that's good. That's how it should be. Investigation. You don't want any surprises about a person's past. That all needs to come out. You want to know as much as possible. And that takes some time. In our case, we knew each other probably for just around 2 years, I would say. Just under 2 years. And as I say, the research suggests that that's a good length of time. No, I'm not. I think it's by Joshua Harris. I've seen the cover. The question is, am I familiar with the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye? I'm familiar. There is a book. Okay. I don't think that a person should hold hands before they're engaged. And the reason is you don't want to do... Would you hold hands with somebody after you were married, somebody that wasn't your spouse? No. So why would you do it before if you didn't know that was going to be your spouse? To me, that violates that law, thou shalt not give to another what belongs to them. And so... My answer to the question about physical contact would be there shouldn't be physical contact before a person knows that this is going to be their future life's partner. And then it needs to be cautious. Physical contact goes in one direction only. So you don't awaken those things until it's time. What did you say?
Positive feedback.
Yes. And I'll tell you why the Lord has us not get married until we're generally at least 20. And probably preferably for most people later than that. That's not the ideal time. That's just when you begin to start it. The reason is, it takes time to make certain that you accomplish certain tasks in life, one of which is self-discipline. That's called breaks. And until a person has breaks, there's no reason to get married. And so you need to develop breaks all through the experience of life and living. It's called self-denial. To follow Jesus, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. What's the thing that God gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Self-denial. It was something they were not to eat, not to touch, lest they die. And so, in heaven, are there going to be things that require self-denial? Yes, that's why. We must learn self-denial now. Are there things in marriage that require self-denial? Yes. There will be times where you have to deny yourself when you want to speak harshly. Now, I haven't had to experience that because I've had a perfect wife. But I'm saying this only on a theoretical basis. But it's important to learn those lessons of self-control and self-discipline before marriage. Or you're not going to have a happy marriage. And that's why God in this life teaches us, even in the Garden of Eden, self-denial. What did Jesus, when he came down to counsel with Samson's parents, he had self-denial. Don't drink wine or similar drink. And so, a part of the Christian life in preparation for heaven, and it's not going to be a hard thing in heaven, don't get me wrong, self-denial will be easy, but it is part of God's plan for all of life is self-denial. And we must learn that before marriage. That makes sense? Before courtship, what about the process before courtship? Group activities. Group activities. Yeah. And things where there's good mixtures and excellent. That's how be involved with activities where there are people, young, old, all kinds of people. You begin to appreciate people's differences, and over time you begin to see what will be attractive to you and what will not be. You want to know the order? Yeah, I would start with whatever book you have. If I had one single book, Messages Telling People, because it's a compendium of so many things, Adventist Home would be equally good. A single book on courtship and marriage, Letters to Young Lovers. Excellent. So read that through. But everybody should have and read through the testimonies. Everybody should have and read through the Conflict of the Ages series. I tell you, I've been listening on, I have an iPod. And I got the iPod for the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. And I started listening 3 months ago, just saturating my mind with the Bible, with the Spirit of Prophecy. And it's changed my life. It's changed my life. When I get into the car, I'm listening to the Bible. When I'm getting up, when I'm running, I'm listening to the writings of the Spirit of Prophecy. I've now gone through the Bible, and I've got the King James Version by Scorby dramatized. And I don't know about you, but I grew up on the King James. I say I know 3 languages. I know English, I know King James, and I know Morse code. I'm a ham operator. And even though I grew up on King James, it's hard for me sometimes. Is it hard for you? So I prefer some others many times, but I like the King James because I grew up on it. With this dramatized, it's so good, and I understand it. And Job, there are parts of Job I never understood before. Just didn't understand it. And because I'd read it and it sounded right. But when I'm listening to this, I hear the snarl, the arrogance, the insult. And suddenly, I say, oh, it's not just the words. There's something else here. And I understand it. So it's just, it's wonderful. Scorby is good, and Johnson is good. He's just as good as Scorby. So I now have King James, New King James. I have New Living Translation, and I have NIV. These are all dramatized. The only one I've yet listened to is King James. I just got the others. I've listened through The Conflict of the Ages. This is just in the last few, not very long. Conflict of the Ages. Now I'm going through it again, and now with a different reader. I've got 2 sets of conflict. I'm finding new insights. The brain is connected to the ears and to the eyes differently. You hear things differently than you read things. And I've gone through Adventist Home, Messages to Young People, the book Education. I'm going through Christ Object Lessons right now, early writings. This is just in the last few months. It's like the Lord has given me hours in the day that before I was just wasting listening to, heaven forbid, Rush Limbaugh, National Public Radio. I think, why on earth when I could have had this kind of stuff? And I think 55 years old, almost 55, and just now getting it. Just now beginning to understand the message of the Bible. And as I'm running and listening to it, I have to tell you, I'm crying. Because the Lord is working on my heart. There's something that's happening. I'm now beginning to understand the Bible. And I just thank God. And I can't share with you enough. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Not the words of man, the Word of God. One more question. Did you have a... You had a question?
About long distance.
Oh, long distance. The God leads people in different ways. I can't say He wouldn't lead. Everybody has a unique story because we don't want to get to heaven. God isn't planning to get to heaven and have testimonies boring. If you want to have something interesting, when you have people over to your house, ask them how they got married. And if they were Christians, it's interesting. There's only one story in the Bible in which a servant goes to a far country and brings back a wife. God doesn't do that but one time. And God wants, for those of you who are single, God wants a unique story for you. Now, He would have never reached me through, I have to tell you, never happened through these dating services on internet and so forth. Desperado meets desperado. But I can't say that He wouldn't do that for somebody. It just wouldn't have been for me. So God can help you and lead you. Just trust in Him. Don't become a desperado. Let God be perfectly happy single, or married, whatever it is, just be happy. Be contented in whatever state God leads you. And then he'll give you a story of uniqueness. Now, if a person is at a distance, you need to have, you need to know somebody that you can find out about that person. So you need a counselor that they work for. You need a reference there that you can talk to about that person. And you want to find out whether your parents approve of this. Get some outside counsel. But distance dating can work. My wife and I dated distance, probably better for us. I needed to be studying for medicine in my last year of medicine, so God saw that I shouldn't have a particular distraction. But everybody is has their own unique set. In retrospect, I believe that I shouldn't get married until after I was finished with medical school. I've concluded that was wrong. But at that time, God didn't want me to be married before I was done with medical school. I needed that. So God leads each person differently. I was fully in favor, ecstatic about Rachel's marrying Eric. The second year, there was that time during their break that God provided, two months or so. I know the Bible says the first year, you're supposed to spend it cheering up your wife. And that hardly sounds like second year medical school. You spent a lot of time cheering up your wife. Good. But you can do distance dating a little easier today because of the communication, instant communication and all. But just be careful that the person that you're dating is not leading you on a line, that they're pretending to be something that they're not. Well, thank you very much for your attention, and I'm going to dismiss you.